Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. These are the insurance professionals. Auto, home, life, business, you name it, they cover it. And they'll find you the best insurance so that you're covered. And they'll also make sure it's at the best price. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com where the customer always comes first. All right, time now for our play-by-play call of the day. It took place yesterday in the National Football League. Jimmy Cephalo, the former Nittany Lion, on the call.
Trevor Siemian out of the shotgun. Back to throw. Fires on the out. Run is a pick off by Xavier Howard. A pick six for Miami.
Touchdown, Miami.
Xavier Howard ran the route for him. A quick out route cuts in front of it.
All right.
A defensive score for the Dolphins.
And the Dolphins routed Denver yesterday 35-9. Wow. Tonight, the Steelers will take on the Cincinnati Bengals. Meanwhile, last night, the Seahawks beat the Eagles 24-10. Here's the tough part for the Eagles. They win nine consecutive games to get themselves to 10-1. They finally stumble, and they stumble at a place where most people stumble, and that's Seattle, CenturyLink Field. And they fall to 10-2. Okay. Except they're now the number two seed in the NFC. Minnesota has the advantage. And if you're the Eagles, you really want to have the number one seed. Why? Vikings, dome team. Saints, dome team. Rams, Southern California. How would you like to get any one of those three teams on a frozen day in Philadelphia in January? See why you want the home field advantage? More than just crowd. With that, we bring in Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. Welcome, sir. Great to have you.
Good to be with you.
What did you think of Russell Wilson's playmaking ability last night?
I thought he was exquisite last night. I thought it was Russell Wilson at his best. No one is better at throwing a ball that looks like it has no point whatsoever to being a pinpoint pass in a bucket. I thought, you know, the Eagles got good pressure. And, you know, I thought they did the best they could as far as keeping him off the edge, but he just keeps plays alive. It is amazing how much they put on him, and he makes it look effortless.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the big plus is I think his offensive line's a little bit better than it was the last 2 years, but his mobility, he keeps plays alive. Not only that, you can tell now he's in good sync with not only Doug Baldwin, but the way he throws some of those basketball plays and back shoulder plays to Jimmy Graham, you can see he's got a real feel for his wideouts now.
Yeah, and that was one thing. I always was amazed the first couple of years with Jimmy Graham in Seattle, and they looked like they were completely stunned on how to use him. And it's almost like this year they rediscovered that, wait a minute, this guy used to be a post-up guy in basketball, and we just throw it up there, he can go get it.
Right.
So.
I think he lost him there for a second.
Reinvented the wheel with him.
Right.
Because that was something you would have thought that on the opening scoreboard would have been like, you know, oh, well, this is something we can do.
Right. Exactly. And that's in. Now you look at, is it taking Darby a little bit to get back into the swing for them at all? It was just a tough night for him.
I think it was just a tough night. I don't think the defense was the problem. I thought that was the defense as good as it's been? No, not even close. But I also didn't think it was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at some of the plays, you know, the long pass to Baldwin was zero blitz that he got out. And then you got the play that they should have challenged that, you know, Wilson makes the great play with the option pitch. But and I admit, when they first started talking about was a forward, I thought they were crazy to even bring that up. Because I right. thought it was, to the eye test, I thought it was just a great play. And then you watch it, and you're like, oh, wow, it did go forward. It's kind of an optical illusion.
Right.
But I thought for the most part, you know, I mean, that game to me comes down to the Eagles being very passive in the first half on offense. You know, they've kind of made their bones by going for it on fourth down, you know, kind of forcing the tempo on the other team, forcing their will on the other team. And I thought they played and coached the first half, specifically offensively, where they were just very happy to, you know, kind of, well, let's keep it close and see if we can make a play at the end and don't want to make the big mistake. And inevitably, whenever you do that, it always goes the other way against you.
Right. No.
And the Wentz fumble.
Yeah.
The Wentz fumble at the goal. I mean, that's a 14-point swing.
Yeah, it was.
You know, it was just one of those things. I mean, you know, I've seen people talk about how, oh, well, the Eagles fumbled four times last week against Chicago, and that started a trend. That's just a football play. It happens. You know, that's nothing you can – should he have wrapped it up better? Yeah, but he's trying to get towards the goal line and get as close as he can. You know, it's just kind of life in the NFL. They've had a lot of bounces go their way this year. You know, not that they haven't deserved 10-1, but they've had a lot of things roll in their column, and they didn't play real well. I thought they made some poor decisions, and they had the brakes go against them last night. It happens.
Yeah, it does happen. The one area that would be critical of Philadelphia is I thought in the first half they committed so many penalties last night. I felt they put themselves behind the eight ball because they just seemed to be a half step off.
Yeah, they did, and they had there was one drive where I felt like it was at least two, maybe three defensive third down penalties that extended a drive. And I agree with that. I just thought the first them, and I don't know if this was a, you know, maybe not so much a young team, but a team that hasn't been in the spotlight like this, being in the spotlight like this for the first time against a team that's been there over and over again, and that really kind of sharpened the focus of maybe how the Eagles still do have some work to do. But I just felt like they, for lack of a better term, were off on all cylinders early in that game. And I just thought, I felt like early on they were just playing not to lose. And inevitably, when you go into a big game playing not to lose, the one thing you can guarantee is you'll lose.
You'll lose, right, no question.
Yep.
Yet, despite all the great work Philadelphia's done, winning 9 in a row, now they're the number 2 seed in the NFC. In your opinion, how important would it be, based on the fact that it's January in Philadelphia, to be the number 1 seed?
I think it'd be very important. I think, you know, specifically when you look at some of the places you're looking at, you know, Minnesota and New Orleans are probably the two places, and you don't want to go to either of those.
No.
And plus, you know, in addition, the advantage you're going to have in Philadelphia is, you know, getting the Saints maybe on a 17-degree Saturday night in January will be very different than going into the Dome, and the same thing with Minnesota. So I think it's really, really important. You know, I think it's still very much in front of them. And it is amazing, like, if you just kind of woke up out of a slumber and listened without any context to the media in Philadelphia and the fans in Philadelphia, you know, you would have thought they just lost their seventh in a row. But I think they're going to be okay. It's a big game now coming up against the Rams. You know, this is because I think if they lose this game, then all of a sudden I think you really start to get a lot of discussion of, well, they were a paper tiger and, you know, they didn't beat anyone, and it gets a little tougher to punch back against that. And you and I have both seen that, you know, all of a sudden things become a thing mentally, and all of a sudden it starts to feed on itself. So this is a big one Sunday against the Rams.
Yeah, and there's another team, the Rams, in the mix. I mean, you'd like to have Los Angeles playing in Philadelphia in January. We've got two dome teams and Los Angeles as key players in the mix here, and getting them outdoors on a frozen field in Philly is not a bad thing to have happen.
No, not at all. And I think the Rams are a lot like the Eagles in the idea that I think they're both kinds of teams that have, you know, kind of sprung up from nowhere with second-year quarterbacks. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, the Rams coming off a nice win against Arizona. It'll be interesting to see how the Eagles bounce back and how the Rams approach this game, because all of a sudden, you know, this is a really this is one of the biggest games of the season, I think, in the NFL as far as things how things are going to break down from here on out.
Yeah, no question. What have you thought about Goff's performance for the Rams so far? You get to watch Carson Wentz all the time, so he's been the guy that's been way ahead of the curve. What have you seen from Goff when you've watched him? Why is he a better product this year?
I think it's system. I think they've given him better weapons. I think like getting a Sammy Watkins, yeah. And I know he's been banged up, but the reemergence of Robert Woods. And I'll be frank with you, I think this is a giant indictment of Jeff Fisher and his coaching staff last year.
Yeah.
Think about it. They had Jared Goff and Case Keenum, and they were terrible. And now you look, those are two quarterbacks that have combined to go, what, 18-4 or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, that might be simplifying it a little, but, you know, you in a league that is desperate for quarterback play, you had two guys on your roster playing at who are playing now at top-level football, and you couldn't get out of your own way last year. So, you know, I think a lot of it is how they approach the quarterback position, and I think Goff, I think Wentz came in as the more polished guy, so he had a better rookie year, but Goff has taken that big step from year one to year two.
Finally, I don't, you know, regardless of what happened last night, what's been the atmosphere like in the city seeing the Eagles do so well?
I think people, if honest to God, there's just been an undercurrent of people waiting for the bottom to fall out. And last night was exactly what people were worried about. Because I think every step of the way, if you listen to fans talk, and I don't mean like on talk radio, I mean just talking to people, you know, they like the Eagles. Every game is a trap game because I think everybody keeps waiting for the, well, this really can't be real. They really can't be Super Bowl favorites. They can't really be 6-point favorites in Seattle, can they? So people are enjoying it, but they're kind of enjoying it with a bit of hesitation as they just wait for what they feel will be the inevitable heartbreak.
And on that note, a note of positivity, we'll end it. Thanks so much, Matt. It's great to hear you, my friend.
Have a good one.
Matt Lee on KYW in Philadelphia. Back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put four generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
Now, when the Sioux co-hosted this show, they'd get the bowl games out there and we'd say, watch or don't watch. And for the suit, 80% of them were don't watch. Okay? I mean, that's just the way, I mean, you know. Okay? Now, so let's do watch, don't watch with all the bowl games.
Okay.
Okay? It all starts at 1 o'clock on the 16th, the Saturday. So a week from Saturday, R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. Troy against North Texas, 1 o'clock in New Orleans.
Nah.
No, I'll watch the beginning because it's the start of the bowl season. Auto Nation Cure Bowl, 2:30, CBS Sportsnet, same day. Western Kentucky, Georgia State.
I may watch it just for the fact since they played Penn State earlier in the year. I may get a glimpse.
Actually, Chris is graduating from Lock Haven that day. I can't watch that. Now, I may listen on the radio because after Chris's graduation, we're going to have a dinner at the tavern and so forth. We're going to do that. To the Las Vegas Bowl, Boise State against Oregon at 3:30. What do you think?
Definitely a glimpse for sure for me.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Like I said, I'll probably listen to it driving down to Virginia. The Gildan New Mexico Bowl, Marshall against Colorado State.
Not pass on that one.
Like again, I'm in the car. The Camellia Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama. Arkansas State, Middle Tennessee, 8 o'clock at night, ESPN.
I'll pass on that.
Again, I'm traveling, so I'm not going to be down there by then. So maybe in the hotel room that night for a few minutes, only because there's nothing else on. Okay, so now we get to, what's the 19th, a Tuesday? The Cherubundi Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl at 7 o'clock.
Of course, Akron, Florida Atlantic.
Akron against Florida Atlantic.
That's Lane's team, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I got a game that night though, basketball. Maybe I'll see a little bit of it at the end.
I'll catch a little bit of it.
All right, Wednesday the 20th, the Frisco Bowl, the DXL Frisco Bowl in Frisco, Texas, Louisiana Tech, SMU.
Nah.
Okay, I might catch a little bit of that. Thursday night, the 21st. The Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl in St. Petersburg, Temple and Florida International. I may watch just for the logo. Are you in or out?
I'm out.
Oh. Well, let's bring the suit back.
I know. This is getting kind of scary. I'm only into two of these so far. But we're getting
UA
there. We're getting
there. Bahamas Bowl on Friday afternoon, the 22nd at 12:30. It's UAB against Ohio University.
Well, we got our company luncheon at that time, so I'm out on that.
Okay. Famous Idaho Potato Bowl, Central Michigan against Wyoming up in Boise. Blue Field, 4 o'clock.
I'll watch that a little bit.
I'll watch a little before I have to do basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I may have the, I may fire it up here on the iPad while we're doing the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Birmingham Bowl, Texas Tech and South Alabama on Saturday the 23rd at Legion Field.
I'll pass.
I'll watch a little, maybe. Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl, San Diego State against Army in Fort Worth at 3:30.
That's kind of intriguing. I would catch at least a quarter of that.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah. Dollar General Bowl, Mobile, Alabama. It's Appalachian State against Toledo. Passing glance.
Me too.
Okay, Christmas Eve, the Hawaii Bowl, Fresno State, Houston. Look, there's nothing else on. I'm definitely going to watch a little bit of it.
Well, you got It's a Wonderful Life. You got the start of the 24-hour Christmas Story Marathon. You got some choices.
No, the Christmas Story Marathon, zero intrigue here at all. None. I can't watch that.
You'll shoot your eye out.
Now, It's a Wonderful Life, I love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, December 26th, day after Christmas now. Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl, Utah, West Virginia, Cotton Bowl.
I'm good for close to a half on that for sure. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Quick Lane Bowl, Duke against Northern Illinois, Ford Field. Now, I may be traveling this day, so I have no idea.
Probably pass on that one.
Cactus Bowl, Kansas State against UCLA at 9. I'm in. I'm definitely in on that. Tom Bradley, big reason why.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
So, all right. Walk-ons Independence Bowl, December 27th, which is a Wednesday, in Shreveport at 1:30. Southern Mississippi, Florida State. No.
No.
Okay. The New Era Pinstripe Bowl, Iowa-Boston College at Yankee Stadium. I'm in.
Yep, me too.
Now, yeah, I mean, first of all, my good friend Gary Dolphin on Saturday, when he was talking to me about the Pinstripe Bowl, I said, Gary, you do know that you have to do it from home plate. It's in the end zone. Okay, the look on his face.
So that'll be his first time in there?
Oh, yes. He said, how did you do that? And I said, I look at the linesman to see where the linesman puts his foot down at the other end of the field. That's where I know where the ball is. He goes, I'm going to use that, Jonesy. Foster Farms Bowl at Levi's Stadium. Arizona-Purdue. It's on Fox.
Maybe.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Okay, Academy Sports and Outdoors Texas Bowl. Texas against Missouri.
Possibly.
December 28th, Military Bowl presented by Northrop Grumman. Virginia against Navy, 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, at least a quarter, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Camping World Bowl, Virginia Tech, Oklahoma State.
Yes.
All right. Then the Alamo Bowl, Stanford against TCU that night at 9.
Oh, no-brainer. Yep.
Yep. Holiday Bowl, Michigan State, Washington State.
Yep.
Yep. December 29th, Belk Bowl, Wake Forest, Texas A&M.
Close to a half.
Sun Bowl, the Hyundai Sun Bowl, NC State, Arizona State.
Nah, unless Herm shows up.
Kentucky, Northwestern in the Franklin American Mortgage City Bowl.
Probably a half.
Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. Utah State, New Mexico State.
I'll pass.
Cotton Bowl, Ohio State, USC.
You better believe it.
Tax Slayer Bowl, Louisville, Mississippi State.
Probably not.
AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Iowa State, Memphis.
Probably not.
The PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, Washington against Penn State. I am definitely going to watch that.
I'll be watching it and listening to the best in the business at the same time.
Penn's Tavern is where you want to celebrate this holiday season. Whatever feel you're looking for, Penn's Tavern along the Susquehanna River can accommodate your needs. Mountain stone walls and wood floors can be found in the original dining area, giving you that old world charm. Continue back to the newly renovated River Room with 12 PA microbrews on tap. Grab a burger and sit back and relax in this cozy pub area. Penn's Tavern has the best gift certificate offer for the holidays. Buy 5 gift certificates of the same denomination and receive a 6th one free. Penn's Tavern, a piece of heaven on Route 147, 5 miles south of Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades because I've been able to find the right insurance where you're covered, whether it's auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be. And they've been able to find it for you to the best price. And the customer always comes first. Now, with that in mind, they're the ones to go to. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, Orange Bowl, Miami and Wisconsin. Are you in?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Definitely watch out.
Okay. January 1st, Outback Bowl, Michigan, South Carolina.
That's probably the 11 a.m. game, right?
Noon.
Noonish?
Noon.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good for... I'm good for an hour with the Rose Parade, then I'll flip that on. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. UCF against Auburn. Even I'm struggling on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I would think Kerryon Johnson would be back 100% healthy for that game, and they'll just mow them down.
Well, UCF hasn't faced a defense like this. Usually with UCF games, it's the first team to 40 points. Notre Dame and LSU in the Citrus Bowl. Presented by Overton's, I might add.
Yeah. Watch that for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Georgia against Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl.
Absolutely.
Alabama against Clemson in the All-State Sugar Bowl.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the championship game in the 8th. Well, let's see. I'm freed up on the 1st. Well, no, I have to drive. I got to go to Maryland on the 1st. You know that.
But I
think we're leaving earlier because our game's on the 2nd at Maryland.
Yeah.
So I think what I'm doing is I'm flying back from Phoenix on the 31st. Get back like on New Year's Eve here. Then I'm leaving the 1st. I've got to go down to College Park.
At least this year you have a little more. Last year was the Rose Bowl and boom, right to Michigan for hoops. At least you have a little more. You have a little more time in between this time.
Yeah, a little bit in between.
Yeah,
that's good. Actually, a little time before too.
I was going to ask you during the break if you got the itinerary. You know, game plan.
No.
I figured it's probably too early.
No, they haven't given it to us yet.
If you're going to plan to fly out with the team or.
I'm not going to fly with the team because I think they've got to go Christmas Eve. There's a second flight, I think, that goes out in like the 27th or 28th or something. Like 27th, I think. Goes out in the 27th. I'm probably on that flight. Because I don't have anything that week. I mean, we have the show.
Right.
I mean, we do have that. 2-hour time difference. Let's see. So I'd be doing the show out there from what? 1 to 3? Something like that. Yeah. So there you go.
I did see right before the football game on the 30th, there is a basketball game, Coppin State.
Yeah, but it's the same time. It's the same day.
Oh, I thought it was a 2 p.m. tip.
Yeah, but the football game is at 4. We're on at 2:30.
Right.
Yeah, that's going to be, that game is now going to be shifted to being a local broadcast only.
Correct.
Yeah, so yeah, it's not even, that's not even going to be a network game. So that's the, so I am going to miss that game, obviously. People always ask me, so you choose football? No, I don't. I'm told where I'm going. Okay. Okay. I am an employee. Okay. Okay. I don't sit there going, you know what I'm going to do? Like, but the choice was made years ago. They'd like, you know, whenever there's a football basketball conflict, I'm doing football. But they made the choice. I didn't make it. Okay. It's not, I don't sit there and dictate terms. I mean, people think,
His hand up. Yes, please.
Yes, I'll do that. Right? There's not even, I mean, there's not even a discussion about it, to be frank with you. There's no discussion with it. So, but people act as if I make the choice. I don't make the choice. They make the choice. I'm an employee. We want you to do this. Okay, got it. What time's the plane leave?
I can be a geek sometimes when it comes to the logistics and that kind of thing. So, yeah, just curious.
You know, I mean, but people have asked me, why do you, when there's ever a football basketball, why do you always choose football? I'll sit there and go, I don't choose anything. I'm told. What? I said I work for these people. They tell me this is what I'm supposed to do. All right, let's bring in Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Ben, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
I know we've Dick Girardi and I talked before the game and said, look, we can talk about being a good team all you want, but, you know, now go out and start beating people. They did that on Saturday. What did you think of the Penn State basketball performance Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most impressive thing about that performance was the fact that, and I don't mean this the way it necessarily sounds, but just the fact that they didn't lose. And I think Iowa was there to take that game and was there trying to take that game. And we've seen Penn State teams over the past few years that have played well on the road. They've been in it late, and then the home team has come back and has eked one out. And I think you saw a Penn State team that not only won, but was confident in the process of winning and was confident shooting those shots and making those free throws and finding a way to win. And I think, you know, it's a testament to that team and their, how they're growing and maturing as much as it is their basketball IQ, because I think, you know, when you look at that game, that's one that Penn State was probably the better team in for most of the way, and they found a way to win, even though at the very end, you know, Iowa was doing its best to come back at the you know, the final few minutes and steal that one from them, but they didn't. And, you know, that's a credit to Penn State.
Now they have Wisconsin tonight. Obviously, you know, Wisconsin is still in many ways Wisconsin, especially with a guy like Ethan Happ, who's just really good. But this seems like, on the surface, a golden opportunity for Penn State, because if they were to win tonight, you're 2-0 for a month in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get a much better opportunity to start well in the Big Ten and then have, you know, a long time to be able to work on your record overall like they are this year. And I think, like you said, you know, Ethan Happ is as good as anybody in the Big Ten, but, you know, like we saw just this past weekend with Ohio State going to the Kohl Center and winning by, I think it was 25.
Right.
Something that, you know, hardly anyone wins at the Kohl Center, let alone, you know, Ohio State is still sort of figuring things out in their new phase of the program. I think it's absolutely a big opportunity for Penn State. And I think Penn State, you know, you could argue, even though I haven't watched tons of Wisconsin, that Penn State might be a better all-around team right now. And I think, you know, the fact they're playing at home, the fact they're playing with confidence, I think the fact that they won that Iowa game is going to help them a lot, just from a standpoint of they won't be on a losing streak. They'll have won a big game on the road, and then they're coming back home where they've played pretty well. I think these guys are going to sense that, and certainly, you know, Penn State basketball has faced a lot of big opportunities in the past, and they're, you know, batting about 50-50 on coming through with those on the victory side of things. But there's no doubt with the non-conference games coming up after this Wisconsin game. Penn State's got a great opportunity to be 2-0 in conference play for a month and have an opportunity not only to be 2-0 in the conference, but to put a few more easier wins on the board, for that next month in the non-conference.
Right, yeah. And again, Wisconsin, when you any team has Ethan Happ, has the Davison kid, and Trice, you've got something on the table you have to certainly be ready for. Ricky Ronning becoming the offensive coordinator, what were your thoughts?
I think that if you read between the lines of what James Franklin has said about Ricky Ronning over the years, the fact that he's an offensive coordinator in the making, the fact that they just think so highly of him, I think it makes sense. I think if you look from a general coaching search perspective, everyone just sort of assumed, that Penn State would go outside of the Lash building just because there are more coaches out there than there are inside the building. But certainly if Penn State was going to promote anybody in-house, it would be Ricky Ronning, and certainly they've been grooming him for this kind of position for the past few years, and certainly spending a lot of time in the film room with Joe Moorhead probably won't hurt anybody. So I think this is a big hire for Penn State. It's a big move for Penn State, and I think James Franklin knows that, which means if he feels like Ricky Ronning is the guy for the job, this is not a small promotion. This is not just a sort of we were 8-4 last year, and now we're going to promote somebody else inside to give it a go. This is a big move for James Franklin, a big move for Ricky Ronning, and if they both feel like he's ready for it, I think how well the Joe Moorhead hire went for James, ultimately gives him kind of that blank slate to say, look, I got the last one right, I'm going to get this one right too. And until Ricky starts calling plays, I don't think anybody can second guess it.
And how about Josh Gattis and Matt Limegrover, two steady, long-term hands that are also there, one with the running game and Matt, the other one in the passing game and Josh?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the offensive line has been up and down over the years, but I think ultimately has gotten better as a unit, and they've liked what Matt has brought to the table. And I think Josh Gattis, you talk about the little things that make the difference between a good team and a great team. And I think one of the things that doesn't necessarily get talked enough about, at least by fans, is how well those receivers have run their routes, how well those receivers have blocked down the field when they don't have the ball. And that comes back to coaching, and that comes back to a guy like Josh Gattis. So certainly, two loyal and successful hands under Franklin at Penn State. So those guys deserve that little bump as well.
Also, a couple of other notes. The fact that James Franklin decided not to hire the running backs coach because he already had an idea of what he wanted to do anyway with the 10th assistant coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at, the Penn State Athletics directory and all of the people that are working behind the scenes for Penn State football and some of the advisors and guys that they have brought into the program, over the past few months, I think the writing has been sort of on the wall that one is ultimately going to get that extra spot. And I think if you look around the country, a lot of these 10th hires that people are going to make in a month or so are going to be a lot of guys that are already in the program that are finally going to get that little pay bump and the title bump. So I think that kind of makes sense. And certainly, with the number of guys that are still on the staff offensively that have been around the running backs, it's easy enough to fold that into a different head coach's sort of purview.
Your thoughts on the matchup that it's Washington and it's the Fiesta Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, Fiesta Bowl is pretty cool, and we're still figuring out the travel. I think for Penn State fans, that'll be the toughest thing. I think the Cotton Bowl would have been easier to get to. But certainly, Washington, I think there's a little bit of the storyline from last year that Washington was the team that kind of beat out Penn State for that fourth spot. Obviously, they were a team that was in the mix for as long as anybody in terms of the national conversation this year. Actually stayed up to watch the game that they lost at Arizona State with one of those the after dark games. Seems like it goes until 3 a.m. I think it'll be fun. It's good defense. It's good offense. Washington's as well-rounded as Penn State is. So I think anytime you get two programs that are pretty similar on the field in front of each other for a big bowl game, it's going to be a fun game.
Any initial thoughts on Washington with Browning and Miles Gaskin and Pettis and 3-4 defense? Any thoughts on them?
Yeah, I mean, that'll be the big test for Penn State like it's been all year, is when that offensive line has to go against a good defensive front. And I believe that Washington is 8 overall in scoring defense, or maybe 6. Either way, they're right up in the top 10. They've been one of the best rushing defenses in the country. So I think obviously it sort of writes itself in terms of what they're going to try and do with Saquon Barkley. And, like we've said all year, if Penn State's got one thing going for it, is that every team tries to do the same thing against it because they know who they've got to stop. So I think if anything, you know, what Washington's going to do is going to be a shade of what teams have tried to do to Penn State all year, and that comes down to execution. But without a doubt, you know, Penn State's had trouble running the ball against teams with better rushing defenses, and Washington's got a good rush defense. But, you know, I think if you give any head coach and his staff a month to prepare for a game, they're going to come out with healthier guys and guys that are ready to maybe do something a little different in preparation that they hadn't been able to do with just six days between games.
Ben, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
Ben Jones, statecollege.com. We'll wrap it up in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. Great to have you with us. So I guess we're going to have to do our bold pick'em show next Friday, right?
That's right. Day before the first game.
Yeah.
Rip through all 40 of them in an hour.
The suit is the three-time defending champion.
Back to back to back. How about it?
This has to end.
I know. There could be some serious smack talk next week at the holiday party, but he'll be busy calling hoops. So.
Oh, good. Now the door's open to a good time. All right.
Which I feel bad for, because when this party was originally planned for the 13th, at that point there was no Shikellamy basketball game scheduled.
It's something, and then I called the athletic department. And they said, that's a great idea. The only bummer is no Dave Ritchie. Maybe Dave can show up at the party.
Yeah,
that'd be good. You know, I think it'd be great. He doesn't need to do the game, does he? I mean, you work with a suit, you only get five words anyway. What's
remember last year toward the end of the season when Chief got sick?
Yeah.
In game.
I know.
Suit solo.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like this. It's not like this is uncharted territory for Kev.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Roger saw the ratings. So. Not funny. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, boy, it's coming up quick, though. That's only 9 days away. Jeez. You know, it's supposed to snow that day, too. Did you know that?
Next Wednesday.
Yeah?
Hmm.
Yeah, like Tuesday into Wednesday, something like that. Mm. Yeah, it'll be right. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. A little holiday cheer will be good.
You got an SUV. You're good.
Yeah, no, I'm fine.
Me too.
Yeah, so
that's got new tires over the weekend. I'm fine.
Ah, there you go. Perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the festival works out great for my schedule. I mean, you know, now they're just going to take the Cop and State game. That's only going to be a local only broadcast in State College. It's not going to be a network game because, I mean, we're on at 2:30, so 4 o'clock kickoff Eastern time for the festival. It's going to be a good matchup, to be frank with you.
Yeah, because you and I were kicking it around during a break about a week or so ago, and there was still one game left to play in the regular season, and I was kind of maybe looking ahead when I shouldn't have, but I'd said to you, which do you think out of the teams that are not going to get into the college football playoff that would really match up against Penn State? And without a hesitation, you said Washington.
They play... There's some areas where they're similar to Penn State. They both have great running backs. Gaskin, like Saquon Barkley Jr., and each has had 1,000 yards rushing. Pettis is a fabulous wide receiver. Fabulous. And you can go with a couple different guys for Penn State as to, you know, who steps up at that wideout spot. Hamilton's different than Pettis. Pettis is really explosive. Hamilton's more precise. They don't have a tight end like Gesicki on the roster at all. No, nowhere. None. Browning moves okay. Is a good passer. Does not make a ton of mistakes. He's only thrown 5 interceptions all year. He'll throw the ball away if he has to. McSorley, I still say, is a better college quarterback than Browning. Browning might have some pro potential. And then defensively, they play 3-4. Last year, the calling card for Washington was its secondary. They had a really great secondary last year. This year, the secondary is not as great, but their front seven's really good. That's why they're so good against the run. Their front seven playing in a 3-4 set pretty good. And Pettis is a great punt returner. He does not return kickoffs. Pettis does not return kickoffs. They have two freshman running backs who return their kickoffs. But as a punt returner, Gilligan's going to have to be really good to make sure this guy doesn't burn him. He is. I mean, he's taken four back this year. Not in his career, this year. Mercy me. And of course, I mentioned his father before. I think everybody knows his father, Gary Pettis, was a great defensive center fielder, mostly with the Angels. And then he's currently the current third base coach of the Houston Astros. So it's been a big year for the Pettis family. But you watch guys. I mean, they'll take Gaskin. I mean, I watched a lot of tape last night. College football playoff, I think they got it right. I mean, it's not like look, I'm friends with Paul Keels, all right, the Ohio State play-by-play guy. We're friends. I mean, we're good friends. I mean, so if Ohio State went, I would have been thrilled for him. You know, if Wisconsin went, I would have been thrilled for Matt LePay, another guy I consider a good friend. To me, it's all, you know, it's about the relationships with the people you know. I mean, so I wanted the winner of that game to go just based on the friendship with the play-by-play guys. Now, I like Eli Gold. I mean, Eli's been on the show, and I've known Eli for 20-something years. Okay, you know, so I mean, so I think about that part of it because of what I do, and I know these people. I mean, but in the end, you have to say this about the College Football Playoff Committee. They used the same standard this year as they used last year. Once again, you have no more than one loss. Oklahoma, Georgia, Alabama, and Clemson, all four teams have one loss. There's not a two-loss team in there. That's what I was telling you the other day when I was talking to Gary Dolphin about the Pinstripe Bowl. He says, Jonesy, what's that like? I said, I don't know how to break this to you. I said, but when we did the game from the Yankee broadcast booth behind home plate, which is also known as the end zone. It's difficult watching someone go into depression.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.